Welcome to the August 25th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, and the sermon is entitled The Strategic Plan, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
Go to your Old Testament book of Ruth. We are entering chapter number 3. We have completed two chapters, four sermons down, four to go. And so I'm grateful for this little book and the truth that it is teaching me personally. And today we get into that subject of plans. And I know that I'm supposed to be able to explain it to you, but there are some things that I can't explain. But here's what I know, that the way that God works, it involves His will and His work. But I'm a firm believer that it also involves the human element. It involves our responsibility to the work that God has done in our lives. And so today, in a very real way, you will see this story open up. And I want, as we read it together, I want you to see it not only as a love story between a soon-to-be husband and wife, but a love story between your Savior, Jesus Christ, and you. Today, as we read the book of Ruth, here's the reality of this story. We are Ruth in this story. We need a redeemer. We need hope because we have come from a hopeless situation. And yet, as God works, He requires obedience on our end. Psalm 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he that delighteth in them," or "he delighteth them in his way." Proverbs 16, verse number 9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps." I'm almost a 42-year-old man. As a teenager, I would not have given you $100 to tell you I would be a pastor in this place. If you would have told me that, I would have told you you were lying. But here's what I want you to know. We all sit out in our younger selves with big plans and big dreams and big hopes. And only the way that God can, He works by His grace through those plans to put us exactly where He wants us to be in this world and then this thing that we call life. And so today, as we are leaving the field of harvest, we are moving to a very important place in this story. But as you make your plans and as you put your plans into order, I want you to understand that Boaz has come into the picture in the life of Ruth to be the provider and the answer to prayer and the possible redeemer in her life. Today, if you are making life plans without Jesus, you might be making the wrong plans. So as we read this story, it is deeper than Ruth and Boaz. It involves you and me. And when we think about the plans that we have, whether they are wedding plans or weekend plans or retirement plans, whether they are dinner plans or dating plans, here's what I want you to understand. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and He needs to be the one in charge of those plans. And so today, when you don't have control and you simply must obey, will you tell God, "Yes, I will do all that you have commanded me to do"? At the very end, you're going to hear those same words. And my prayer is when you look at God face to face one day, because we all will see Him face to face in some capacity one day, you will be able to say, "I've done all that you commanded me to do with a plan of my life." And so today, we look at the strategic plan, and it involves a mother-in-law. Let's go to God's Word, Ruth chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2. "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight, in the threshing floor. The obvious move after you have harvested the crop from the field is it had to go to the threshing floor. Because on that threshing floor, you took the harvest, you took the barley, or you took the wheat, and you threw it down on that packed clay floor, and you began to work over that wheat or that barley. You began to use animals and sleds to stomp and to trample that wheat, to separate the grain and the chaff. And then from there, you would then take pitchforks of sort, and you would throw that grain up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff away. Just because you finished in the field doesn't mean the work was over. Many times we picked up hay in the field, and the worst part was putting it in the barn, because you can't breathe there, right? What I want you to see first, and you will get 4 points in the strategic plan today, is I want you to see a candidate. I want you to see a candidate. Harvest season has been busy, and the end of chapter number 2 tells us that Ruth stayed in that field, and she worked in that field, and she obeyed everybody that poured into her life with wisdom and direction and opportunity. Ruth, as she was obedient to not only Naomi, her mother-in-law, but she was obedient to Boaz at the end of the chapter. But here's the reality of this. As Ruth comes back home with what she has harvested, enough to provide 2 weeks of meal for them, mother-in-law shows up. And we love our mother-in-laws. I love my mother-in-law. I'm not going to put her on the spot this morning, but here's what happens. The mother-in-law sees Ruth, and she knows that she's been in Boaz's field, and here's the mother-in-law's heart. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Now, Naomi could get by with this, but as we open up chapter number 3, you see in the first verse that Naomi calls Ruth a word, 2 words actually, my daughter. Do you see that? Ruth is not her daughter. Ruth is like her daughter. Ruth has become her daughter because this woman has lost her 2 sons. She's left with the daughter-in-law, but this woman has become family to Naomi. And she says, Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Here's the Jeffrey translation. You need help. I'm too old to help you. And Ruth, you need help in your life. And there is a candidate for help. Look at verse number 2. It says this. And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. There is a candidate. There is a candidate for help. There's someone that can help Ruth. And here's what I need you to understand today. You might be that candidate because there is someone that can help you, and his name is Jesus. Today, you may have come to church hurt and worn down and tired and frustrated and upset and wondering, why aren't my plans working out? There's hope because we have Jesus. An amen needs to go right there. Amen. There's a candidate. And this candidate is big, and he's strong, and he's older, and he's seasoned, and he's got money, and he's got property. But here is the reality of Boaz. He is a godly man. And I don't know how many of you older or younger men and women are looking for candidates in your life, but God should be the top priority, okay? Yes, I went there. You need to look for God. And as this mother-in-law is surveying the field and surveying what has happened, surveying the prospects, Boaz comes to her mind, and Naomi jumps right in the middle of what is going on, and she says, I have a plan. Gentlemen, we know that when our wives make plans for us, we better watch out. But when your mother-in-law makes plans, you really better watch out, okay? But here's what I want you to know. Naomi is a godly woman as well. And she identifies something in Boaz that she wants to draw Ruth's attention. We can see through these verses Ruth's love for Naomi, but I hope that you see Naomi's love for Ruth as well. As Ruth pledges to follow Naomi through her for the rest of her life, her mother-in-law recognizes now Ruth has a need in her life. Ruth has helped me, now I want to help her. There is someone that she can claim by the Levirate marriage law. And you can write this down. I'm not going to go over it, but here is a scripture, Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10. And basically, here's what the law says. If the brother dies, it's the brother-in-law's responsibility to marry and continue the family name. But there is someone that who can fulfill that, who can fulfill, listen to me, you cannot miss this, that can fulfill God's law, God's plan in this situation, and his name is Boaz. And in a very loving way, Naomi offers her help in order to make this happen. I told you it was better than Hallmark. But here's the reality. You think of your own life. You think of your relationship with Jesus. How many of us would not be here today if somebody else did not point us in the right direction? I'll be the first to raise my hand. If somebody didn't help you, we have all been beneficiaries of receiving that help. But here's the reality. We as Christians are called to help others as well and to continue to point them in the right direction. And so we see a mother-in-law that loves this woman, Ruth, and is trying to help, sees an answer to prayer for her family and for her future. And Naomi knows exactly where he's going to be. At the end of verse number 2, here's what she says. He winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. You can see him at work. A strategic plan. You've got to put somebody in the right place at the right time. Amen? You've got to be there. And God does that. But here's what Naomi says. I know where you can meet this man. I want you to see a candidate. I also want you to see what happens next in verse number 3. Here's Naomi's advice. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. So we have a candidate in Boaz, and now I want you to see there has to be a cleansing. Now, this is very practical, and I don't want you to get crazy on this, but here's the reality of it. Naomi says, Ruth, you've been in the field working. You spent days there. You've sweated and worked, and you're a hot mess. No guy is going to want a girl that smells like that to come meet him on the threshing floor. Now, I hope I can be a little facetious with you. But here's the reality. In this day, they didn't take baths every day like we do. Like we do, right? Yeah, okay. I'll make sure we all on the same page there, all right? They were lucky to get a bath once a month. Yeah. So here is the practical side of things. Naomi says, Ruth, look, you've got to clean yourself up. Look at verse number 3. You need to wash yourself, therefore, anoint thee and put thy raiment upon thee. Here's what she says. Take a bath, put some perfume on, and put your best dress on. I want you to know that in the field, Boaz was attracted to this woman. As dirty and nasty and filthy as she was, she caught his eye. And as Naomi puts this plan together, there has to be some sort of cleansing that takes place. Yes, she needs a bath. Yes, she needs perfume. Yes, she needs a good dress. Put all of that on, and then we will go from there. Here's what I want you to understand. It's one thing to have a plan. It's another thing to plan and prepare, and it's definitely another thing to execute the plan to the fullest. There is one thing that I do not want you to miss in verse number 3, and that is this. Not only does she need to clean up, but look at the end of verse number 3. It says this, go down, get thee down to the floor, But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. As Naomi gives that advice to go and claim what is yours. Now listen, do not miss this. It's not about getting a shower, getting cleaned up, getting a bath. It's about doing what God's word tells you you have a right to do. You have a right to go tell this man that he is your redeemer. And as we see the cleaning take place, we understand that this is a great plan, great advice by Naomi. Now listen, I'm not a matchmaker. And I'm not here today, if you're single, I'm not here to give you advice on anything. If you ask, I will. But here's what I want you to know. If you prepare for a date, hopefully, at the very least you do, you clean yourself up. Some of you may not have planned for a date, but here's the reality of Jesus. Jesus does the cleaning for us. There are many people that miss their Redeemer because they think they've got to get it all together. And here's what I want you to know. If you're sitting here today and say, I got to get some things right. No. Jesus will help you get things right. Because the reality is this, if you wait on to getting things right before you come to Jesus as your Savior, you will more than likely never come. There are cleansings that need to take place in Ruth's life, but there are cleansings that need to take place in our lives. And if we think that we're going to wait and get it all together, you've got that wrong. Now back to Ruth. Naomi says, go get yourself together. Now, I know I've got young ears and young eyes that are listening, and I'm going to try to keep it above board, but here's what it says. This may seem like somewhat of a risque action by Naomi, but here's what I want you to understand. This is a God-ordained meeting for Ruth to rightfully claim redemption. And sometimes it doesn't look like the way that we did it, or it happened to us, or it's by the book. But God can still work in those plans that seem out of the ordinary. And so Ruth is called to cleanse herself, to make herself presentable, and to the man that she will meet on that threshing floor. And the one thing that you cannot miss here is this. It has to wait. She's got to hurry up and get dressed. She's got to get down to the threshing floor. But then she's got to wait. She's got to wait for the right time. When he's done celebrating, eating and drinking, then she can make her move. But she's got to wait. And some of us in here try to get above or ahead of God, and it all blows up. Some of you today, God is saying, come and get cleansed. And some of you have already been cleansed and you're in a season of waiting. You cannot get above or ahead of God's timing because it will blow up. How many of you know the best time to talk to a man is after a meal? I'm getting some head nods. If you try to talk to me after lunch, good luck. That's all I'm saying. Look at verses 4 and 5 and 6. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. You need a star, verse number 5. And she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. The third point today is after there's a candidate, after there's a cleansing, now you see the consent. In order for any plan to work, everyone has to do their part. Look at me, church. Look at me. If ministry fails, whose fault is it? I'll tell you who will take the blame. I will. But if ministries fail because not everyone does their part, it's not because of a preacher. It's because of the people. And there have been genius plans throughout history, whether it's military plans or plans within nations that have failed because somebody didn't do their part. And I believe there is human responsibility in what we do with our God. And so, in order for this plan to work, here's what has to happen. Ruth has to clean herself up. She has to get down to that floor. She has to not make herself known. She has to wait. She has to wait till he goes to sleep. And when he goes to sleep, she needs to go down where his feet are and uncover them and lay at his feet. How many of you ladies would say, sign me up? Yeah, that's what I thought. I want to start out by saying this. Ruth didn't know the customs. Remember, she is from Moab. She really didn't know all of God's law. She was still learning. And so as Ruth is still learning the customs of the day and the scriptures from Naomi, Naomi says, here's what you've got to do. You've got to do all of this, and then you've got to go lay down at this man's feet. And here's Ruth's response. As she said in verse number 5, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. I'm going to stop and go to our story, and then I'll come back here. Are you doing everything that God is asking you to do? Because if you don't do just one part of it, it's going to fail. And so we see Ruth tell her mother-in-law, all that you tell me, I'm going to do. And I'm going to interject this in the story. As crazy as this plan is. Now, I want you to think through it with Ruth with me. I got cleaned up, and I got dressed up, and I put perfume on to go lay on the dirt floor next to that nasty man who has been working all day, and not only that, next to his nasty old feet. That's the best you can do, mother-in-law? Come on now. Couldn't we have had dinner or something? But at the right time, Ruth says, I will do all that you ask me to do. As he falls asleep after celebrating the harvest, when he wakes up, just obey him. He's going to tell you exactly what he needs you to do. It may be a conversation. It may be a chance at ministry. But here's what I'm going to ask you. Have you ever done something crazy? And what I mean crazy is something out of the ordinary that you didn't plan on, that you didn't make plans to do. Something that just happened and you see God's hand in it. I see it at the grocery store all the time. I see it in elevators at the hospital. God works in the craziest places. But here's what I want you to understand. It may be crazy in our eyes, but in the plan of God, God is at work. And our answer must be, yes, I will do whatever you ask me to do, God. What if God this morning is calling someone that is in this sanctuary, or somebody that is listening live stream? What if God is calling you to the mission field? What if God is calling you to the ministry? You've got to change everything. And it may sound crazy, but until we are willing to do that and be obedient to God, God cannot work. Today, I don't know what it means ministry looks like in your life, but maybe it's to take on more responsibility within your own family. Your first ministry is family. And I hope you learned this from this story. You got to take care of your own. You got to make sure they meet Jesus. Maybe God's calling you to take on more responsibility within your church family, or lead a small group, or help out with a class, or invest in a ministry. Even when it requires you to clean up, Ruth says, I will do it, and I will do it just as you have told me. You cannot miss those little words all. In verse number 5, there's a word all there. She said to her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Everything. everything you tell me because I don't know any better. I don't know what I should do. I don't know the word of God like you do, Naomi. Ruth says, I will do it all. And in verse number 6, and she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her to. The law demanded action. And her action and her heart was total submission. Whatever is asked, whatever is needed, I will do. Christian, today, God demands total submission. Not just if you're going to be the pastor, or if you're going to be a deacon, or if you're going to be a good person. No, God demands total submission from us all. And so, every one of us must consent, must agree with God in that. There's one more point as the story gets good. Let's look there. Verse 7 through 9. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and he turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Point number 4 today is the clinch. I want you to see the clinch. It's one thing to say that you will do it. It's another thing to follow it through. The word clinch has two meanings. When you clinch something, it means that you can settle it or confirm it. Like an agreement, a contract. The word clinch can also mean a close fight. Think of boxing. When boxers get in the clinch, they're in tight, but they're still throwing jabs. And so what I want you to see here, as Ruth has said, I will do everything that you tell me to do, then she goes through and does everything that is asked of her. How many of you have been through both seasons? Seasons where you submit or confirm, and seasons where you fight God? I've been through both of those. And they're not fun seasons. But as been said, she's waiting on the right time. And in verse number 7, Boaz has eaten and he has had his fill. And he says, it's time to go lay down by my harvest. And part of that is because of the celebration. Part of that is because of protection over the crop to make sure nobody steals his hard work. And as they take all of that, he gets tired. He lays down and he goes to sleep. And as he is asleep in the middle of the night, Ruth comes in and lays down at his feet. And in the middle of the night, maybe Boaz is a little bit like me. He has to toss and turn a little bit. And one of those tossings and turnings, he wakes up because something's different. And a very theological question is asked. Who are you? What are you doing here? It is the pitch black of night. She is at his feet. He wakes up and she is just there waiting on his command to do whatever he tells her to do. Again, listen to me. There's nothing risky about this in her approach to him as a future husband. Some commentators paint this as an immoral act. It is no such thing. It is a very godly thing. She is laying at his feet of all places. So as he poses that question, who are you? She is not there to fight, but she is to settle and confirm one thing and one thing alone. Are you my near kinsman? Are you going to be my redeemer? She goes, she sleeps, she's submissive, she asks the question. in verse number 9, as they are startled together, his question is, "Who are you?" And she says, "I'm Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Here's what's out of the ordinary. This is Ruth's way of asking Boaz, "Will you marry me? Will you marry me?" I thought guys are supposed to do that. They are, aren't they? Now I have seen a couple of instances through my life where the girls had to take the leading part. Naomi takes the lead. Ruth now takes the lead. "Are you willing to spread your skirt upon me?" That is talking about protection. And I'm going to refer you back to chapter number 2, verse number 12. And these are his own words when he was talking about the Lord was going to take care. He said, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." That's in chapter number 2. Boaz says, "Ruth, you've come under God's protection." And now Ruth says, "I want to come under your protection." In the middle of the night, of all places, the timing is not right in our own minds, but in God's timetable, it is perfect. Here's what I want you to see. Boaz recognized the faith of Ruth and brought her under the wings and the trust of the Almighty God. And now as she asks for that same protection, not from God, but from her kinsman redeemer. Verse number 9 ends, "Thou art a near kinsman. You are able to redeem me. Will you do it?" Well, I left you in the middle of the night, on the threshing floor, Boaz and Ruth are face to face. And Ruth basically asked Boaz, "Will you be my redeemer?" You have to come back next week to hear his answer. But here's what I want to ask you. Last week we left the field, and tonight we're on the threshing floor. As I wind this sermon up, I'm not even going to go to my notes. I want to just ask you this. The threshing floor is where you ground things out. The grain was trampled and it was separated and it became something useful. Maybe today, on the threshing floor of your heart, you and God need to flesh out a couple of things. Maybe you need to work those things out. Here's what I want to say. Ruth is looking more for a redeemer than a date. Today, if you're here, you're not looking for an experience, or you're not looking for God to answer one prayer. Today, you need to be here seeking Jesus Christ as Savior of your life. And on the threshing floor, are you willing to submit and lay down at the foot of the cross and say, "Jesus, all I have and all I am, I give and submit to you"? Just as she laid at the feet of Boaz, we must lay at the feet of Jesus and submit and do His will. Today, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, is there a fight in your life with the Lord, or has it been settled? And I don't know who I'm talking to. There's got to be somebody here this morning that hasn't settled their fight with God. Maybe your question is just as Boaz asked, "Who are you?" God, today, He offers redemption. Is there a candidate? Will there be a cleansing? Is there consent on our part? Will there be a clinch? Will you make that choice today? The threshing floor has taught me a lot. And maybe today, if you're a believer, you just want to come to this altar and in a very humble way say, "Oh God, there are people that need you, that I'm connected to, and I want to pray over them. God, use me to be that voice. Use me to be a Naomi, to point somebody in the right direction." Unbeliever, Jesus Christ went to that cruel cross and died for your sin and my sin, that we could have eternal life through His name. Today, the forgiveness of Jesus is offered. But you must settle that today. Don't walk out of here saying, I'll do it next week. I'll do it another time. I'll get cleaned up. I'll get it all together. Don't do that. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, you come. In these moments of invitation, what will we learn from the threshing floor? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. God, I just pray, Lord, that you take over this invitation time now. As this is the business work of what we are here to do today, we have worshiped you, we have lifted up your name, we have looked to you, we have learned about you. Now, Lord, you call us to live for you. Oh God, on that threshing floor, Ruth came face to face with our Redeemer. Lord, today in this moment of invitation, maybe somebody is standing face to face with their Redeemer. Maybe they need to settle things, or maybe they're fighting against Him. Oh God, I pray that you move in hearts today as we look to you, the Holy Spirit, to lead this moment of invitation. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. May we point that way to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.